This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have a great show for you today, and we're going to be talking about some old programming today. I know that many of you might say, what are you talking about? What is that about? What do you mean, old programming? What are we doing here? What's this all about, Ashley? Well, it's like, you know, I realize that, you know, and I've talked about this a couple of times before. You know, many of us have, well, we have our iPhones or we have our Samsung Galaxies or whatever the latest phone is. We have it. We love it. It's literally part of our life. It's part of our appendage. It's connected to our hand. Some of us use our phone all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have our computers. Like right now, here at the studio, I have three screens and two computers in front of me to make this go live around the country from my own studio. Right? I mean, think about how much programming is involved and all the software. Think about how much it takes to go live. Think about how much it takes to do that and how often we have to update that programming, right? You're not running on programming from 2010, right? You're not like, well, my phone is so slow. It only takes about 7 to 8 minutes to send out a good text. I mean, come on, we're not doing that, right? We're not rolling on that old programming. We're actually rolling on new programming with all of our technology, right? And sometimes we have a problem too, right, where we try to update programming on an old computer and it just doesn't work. But for the most part, if we're keeping things in check, we're running things right, we have the programming we need, we're doing what we need to do, and everything is running smoothly. But what about us? Not just our computers, not just our phones, right? Not just that. What about us as an individual? What about us as a human being that needs to have updated programming as well? What about that? Have we thought about that? Have we given any thought to that? Because what I'm saying to you is that we have to be updated just like our computers, just like our phones, but we have to realize that the programming that many of us are running on, we started at a very young age. The programming that most of us are running on, okay, began at a very young age, and many of us were told who we are. Many of us were told by family, friends, parents, teachers, that we were a certain way. We were told, we were given identities. Maybe we were the fun person. Maybe we were the outgoing. Maybe we were the environmentalist. Maybe we were too quiet or too loud. You know, maybe we were the one that was always getting in trouble, the troublemaker. Or maybe we were the quiet one, the sweet one. Or everybody loved Ashley, or Ashley was always in trouble. And isn't it interesting how we end up getting those definitions, we end up getting those labels, and then we carry those labels throughout our life, and those become our programming. Okay, you know, and some of you might even get it when you were in school, and, you know, maybe you remember hearing your parents saying, well, you know, she's really slow in math. You know, we hope that she'll pull this out, but, you know, she's not going to be a mathematician anytime soon, so we really hope that the language side of this really kicks in. You know, many of you have been married, maybe once, twice, who knows, but maybe there was a marriage where you were labeled in that marriage on a constant basis, labeled as to who you are and who you aren't. Maybe you were a good listener, maybe you weren't. Maybe you were a philanderer, maybe you weren't. Maybe you were not that smart or too slow or not kind or selfish or mean or angry all the time. So what I'm asking you today is to begin to look in this programming and ask yourself, what labels am I accepting in my life today? What labels am I today? But better yet, do these labels serve any good to me right now? Are these labels serving me at all? And this is the question that I want to ask you. So then we have to take a step further when we think about these labels in this program, and we have to ask us, who are we choosing to identify with in our life? Who? What are we choosing to identify with in our life? Where are we choosing to identify in our life? And I think that's a huge thing, too, because we might actually realize that we've changed our programming. We might have really worked to, you know, let's say, like, when we were growing up, we were known as the gossip, and so really working to not be the gossip. Or we've really worked to really take things and focus on our life and really focus on being that solid individual. Whatever it is that we're working on, have we also refocused our choices outside of our labeling? Have we refocused our friendship choices? Are you hanging out with people that actually respect the new programming, or are you hanging out with people that are still based on the old programming as you? Are you doing things that you want to do, or are you doing things that you think that you should be doing? I know that many of you might have gone to school and your parents said, you're never going to take, you shouldn't go there, you shouldn't do that. You're never going to make a, you're never going to make a living. You're never going to make any money doing that. I mean, what are you thinking about getting an art degree, for God's sakes? And, you know, some of you went on and followed that, and others of you said, well, gosh, you know, I better follow my parents, and I better, maybe I need to be a CPA, or, you know, maybe I need to be a nurse, or whatever it is. And then there it is, you know, at a certain time in your life, and you're having what we call, some people call a midlife crisis. You can have a crisis, a midlife identity crisis, any time in your life. I had one when I was, like, 20 years old. You can have it at any time. You can have it at 15. You can have it at 80. But the point is that it's based on, why do we have these crises? We have these crises because we're not being our true self. Instead, we're listening to the programming and we're allowing the programming to take over our life. You know, programming comes in many shapes and forms. Political programming. If you were raised in a very liberal household or in a very conservative household, are you still agreeing to that programming, or have you figured out your own identity? What about religion? Were you raised in a highly religious household? And are you religious, or are you spiritual, or neither? And are you still holding that and using that as your definition and your programming? Because you have to be very careful, right? Because if you don't choose something and you're living the opposite way, you have to be careful not to be living antithetical to your values. But you have to realize, what are my values based on what is my programming? And I know this is a little deep of a conversation today. I get it. I'm not trying to, like, overly deep everybody here on Saturday. But, you know, the thing is that I think that we need to really explore ourselves. I think that we explore ourselves more than we look at the latest political situation that's on TV. We don't explore ourselves. We're not our best friends. We're not there for ourselves. We don't understand ourselves, and we certainly don't understand who we are. So let's begin with talking about programming today, because I think this is so important. Okay. So what I mean by programming is that, okay, so if you think about your phone, right, and you have the latest update, and that latest update, the latest update that you have, you know, helps to move things faster, maybe there's new programs, maybe there's new apps that you use, that kind of sort of thing, and things seem to flow better. Well, our own programming in our head is based on the thoughts that we have in our own mind. So if I'm thinking that I am not a good athlete, or I'm thinking that I'm not a good speaker, right, that I'm going to live my life in fear, let's say as a speaker, I'm going to live my life in fear of having to speak in front of people. That is going to be my biggest fear. I'm going to hate on that. I'm going to stay away from that. That fear is going to take me out of ever speaking in front of a group in my life. And if I do, I'm probably going to, like, screw it up. Because I'm going to be so scared, because I know that I'm the worst speaker in town. It's never going to happen for me. Think about when we think that we're not lovable, or we think that we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or we're not pretty enough, or we're not handsome enough. All these things directly relate to how we feel about ourselves. These labels that we've been given are very interesting. And sometimes we live within the label, and other times we don't want to live within the label. We're not happy with the label. We don't want the label anymore. What is the label doing for us? But are we aware of the labels that we're allowing in our own mind? You know, I've realized when growing up, and it was, I guess, I pretty much dumped all my labels, I would say about 8-9 years ago. And in that dump, it was very interesting because I had to also let go of a lot of other things. I had to let go of some of the folks that I was hanging out with. Even though I loved them and adored them, it just wasn't going the same. Their productivity, it was getting in the way of them moving forward. And I felt myself constantly being pulled back into the old programming, even though I had left it. And that's something that I want you to think about. When you go out with your friends, when you're on the phone with friends, when you're on the phone with family, how often does it build you up? How often are you building them up? Or how often are you trying to explain yourself over and over again to the choices that you've made? I found that a lot of times when we weren't able to make choices when we were younger, it seems like there's a whole group of people that still don't think you can make choices even if you're 40 years old. They're still going to tell you about how you need to do this or how you need to do that. It's always an ultimatum, and it's always based on condition. Isn't that interesting? None of us want conditional love, but how much of it is being actually dished out? The more love than not is being dished out in a conditional format, condition-based love. If you do this, I will love you. If you do this, I will take care of you. If you do this, I will buy this for you. If you do this, I will stay with you. If you don't do this, I'm going to leave. Okay, and so think about how our society is today. And I think one of the most interesting things, too, is that, you know, we've lost a lot of our just the natural, nice way of doing things. You know, it's interesting. I've had people email me. I've had people, you know, email me about questions or something, and then you respond back. And when you respond back to the situation, they don't respond back because you're answering the question. They have nothing to say. It's interesting how we're kind of letting that be. But it's like we have to try to keep the societal norms together. We have to try to find that consideration. And I think that the more we help each other, the more we help ourselves, right? I think that a lot of times we see it as, oh, well, I don't need to do this or I don't need to do that because it doesn't affect me. But every single thing we do affects us directly. Every single thing that someone else does affects us directly. And based on that, we have to determine how we're going to treat other people. And so today, more than just programming, it's about, you know, hey, how are you helping other people let go of their old programming? Or we adding to the old programming? You know, it's like when you have friends that you've had forever and you love them, but at the same time, all you do is talk about the old school parties. Oh man, I remember that party. That was so crazy. Oh man, it was awesome. And remember when this happened? Remember when we did that? Remember when that happened? And your car got towed and everything else, and you sit there and you go, that's fun to reminisce a little bit. Reminiscing can be fun, but I don't want to be living in the past, defined by something that took place a long time ago when our identities were still in the making. I think that a lot of times in our society today, it's like you cannot have done one thing wrong to ever run for Congress unless you know everybody that can cover it up for you. But if you don't have people that can cover it up for you, you just can't run. You could do something when you were 15 years old. You know, that's the hard part about being a kid nowadays, is that everything is on social media. You know, I remember when you could go to New Orleans and people didn't have video phones where they could go live on Facebook. But think about it now. You do one thing that you feel bad about, it goes on all of social media, and you can't take it back. And see, like a lot of us that are listening to the show right now, a lot of you that are listening are at the age where you didn't have to worry about that. But some of you are in the age that you had to worry about it, whether it's MySpace or Facebook. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's all about that, but it is the public persona as well. How do you live something down that's documented? How do you do that as well? And so this show is also dedicated to anybody that's thinking, man, you know, I really need to figure out who I am. I need to figure out who I am separate from my friends. I need to figure out who I am separate from my upbringing. I need to figure out who I am separate from what I've been told that I am. You know, there's some really great teachers out there, but for every great teacher, there's a teacher that wasn't that great. You know, you have a teacher that's really inspiring and there for the students, and then you have ones that just aren't. And some of them told you and gave you a bill of goods that we don't need to live by anymore. So we're going to be talking about that. Stay tuned. We're talking about letting go of programs and how to do it. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes. We are all striving to live our true
life. Hi, my name is Reginald Harvey, and I'm a wellness champion.
Hey guys, good to have you here on
Living Whenever Possible.
Facebook.
But life just throws challenges in our path.
Glad to have y'all. So here we go. We got some good.
How do you bridge these life road bumps? I just published the medical memoir Anatomy of a Patient as a journal of my battle with a life-threatening illness, stage 4 renal failure. I have learned that disease is just the clinical definition of the sickness, whereas illness is how we choose to live with it. In my case, I immediately had to decide whether to run and hide and wait to die, or to dare to live. No, dare to thrive. Join me in a conversation that few are willing to have. You can hear me on Live Your True Life Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. For more information, go to ReggieHarvey.net. That's ReggieHarvey.net.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation to supporting detoxification to stabilization of blood sugar and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Welcome back to the show live here. We're talking about programming, personal programming, and how to identify that personal programming. Many of us don't even know we have it. You know, many of us don't even know we have it. I've worked with clients, and they say, you know, I just feel like I must be selfish, or I must be too weird, or there must be a problem with me, or I don't listen, or I'm unhappy, or I'm, you know, and it's interesting where they get these definitions, whether it was because of their family dynamic, which is a possibility. But sometimes it can be from their own spouse, you know, telling them that they're selfish, or their own spouse saying that you're a weirdo, or you're odd, or there's something wrong with you. And it's interesting how we hold on to that, and then we create this, like, alter reality. And we basically embrace this stuff. And we take it on as our own. And that's the issue, is that what are we taking on as our own that's not ours to take on? What are you taking on as your own that's not yours to take on anymore? And in order to really find this information, you have to get into the recesses of your brain. You have to get also into what you're doing. What are the choices that you're making that directly correlate to something that's not you? You know, I've realized that many of us take on things, you know, whether we say, oh, well, you know what, I'm just slow. I had a friend of mine, I was doing something, and they're like, wait, slow down, you're too fast, you're too fast. I'm just too slow. And I'm like, what do you mean you're too slow? Well, I'm always just too slow. Just give me a little bit, because I'm really slow at what I'm doing. I was like, hey, do you know when the first time that you were told that you were slow? And they're like, what are you talking about? This is my whole life. And then we ended up talking for several hours, and they can remember back until, like, you know, when they were about 6 years old, and the teacher saying, you're just too slow. You're slow. You have a problem. You're too slow. You need to speed up. You have a problem. And from then on out, they were too slow all the time. Like, they couldn't get together. And it wasn't that they were too slow. They just had this whole fear around how fast they were executing something. And eventually they realize, okay, I'm really not that slow. It's just that I've been told I'm so slow that now I'm living by that and I'm actually doing that. And then I'm trying to defend the fact that I'm being slow. And I know this sounds wild, but it's so true. You know, it's like when you're a kid and you're told that you're just too loud. You're just so loud. You need to bring it down. I mean, God, you're just so loud. You're so irritating. Your voice is so loud. And so you get really quiet and meek. And then, you know, throughout your life, people are like, oh, she's just so meek and quiet. I don't know. And you're like, you know, that's just not my personality to be meek or quiet. So why did you get meek and quiet? Was that because when you were growing up, you were told you were too loud? Was that when you were growing up, people kept telling you to be quiet, to shut up? And it's like, what are we holding on to that no longer serves our true reality? What are we holding on to that no longer serves and has never served our highest good ever? Ever, 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 ever. And we learn this stuff at such a young age, and then we're very impressionable, right? Because, and I'm sure that many of you would agree with me that it's a lot easier to believe something negative than something positive. You know, if somebody says that, you know, something negative about you, or finds something wrong with you, or finds an issue with you, it's easier to grasp that, right? And then you hold it with you. They can only tell it to you one time. They don't have to tell it to you over and over again. They can tell you one time that there's something wrong with you, and you accept that. There's something wrong with me. And you hold on to it, and you own it. Why is it so hard for us to accept positive things about us? Why is it so hard for us to accept the positive side? It's like we have to hear the positive side like a million times. It's like we have to hear the positive attributes of ourselves, like listening to a Geico commercial. I mean, how many Geico commercials have you heard today? How many did you hear yesterday? And if you don't have it memorized by now, yes, there is something wrong. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, how many times do we have to hear something positive about ourselves to believe it? Like the first thing we do when somebody tells us, like, you know, something nice about ourselves is, what do we say? We say, oh, you're so sweet, that's not true. Or, oh, God, you're just so nice, but I wish that was true. Or, oh, you're just saying that, right? But it's not. It's like, why do we try to throw away the compliments that we're getting? We got to get real in the Whole Foods parking lot. So when we're trying to be talking about programming, overcoming that inner thought process, Dan Nelson's going to be live here in our third segment. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back again. We'll be back this time to Shakes. We are all striving to live our true life, and part of living our true life is learning about our past. Passing knowledge and family history down to the next generations help those generations to learn where they came from, who they're related to, and to learn about the accomplishments of their ancestors. We've all seen the commercials on TV where you buy a kit, spit into the plastic tube, and receive a few morsels of information that need a lot more connecting of the family dots. Instead, how about hiring a true professional to help you find out your true, full family history? Dan Nelson is the resident historian of Live Your True Life Perspectives, a professional who does more than looking you up on the internet and compiling those small bits of history. He travels the country doing research about things your family deserve to know. Check out Dan's website. Go to dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. And give the gift of your family history to your family.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, campaigning in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, is again hammering President Trump's response to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic.
President Trump said, We're rounding the corner. It's going away. We're learning to live with it. They're quotes. But as I told them last night, we're not learning to live with it. We're learning to die with it.
As far as a new coronavirus relief bill, Republican Senator John Thune from North Dakota believes it will happen after the election.
We've moved a bill on the floor now twice in the Senate, but the Democrats have blocked it. So in the end, when the smoke clears after the election, hopefully we can sit down and people can, in good faith, start to compromise. But right now, my impression is that the House Democrats and Speaker Pelosi would much rather have the issue than they would have a solution.
Thune speaking there on Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Glad to have you back. You know, I feel that people ask that question, you know, can people change? People ask me all the time, can people really change, Ashley? Can they change? Well, yes, people can change, but the thing is that they can't change unless they actually change their programming. This is what it comes down to. If they can't change their programming, they can't change. If they can't change their programming, there is no change. The programming directly reflects the thought process. The programming directly reflects the issues. It's like a lot of us are actually, like, in arguments with other people, but it's not us in the argument. It's us arguing with their programming and them arguing with our programming. Like, they're arguing based on their own insecurities, their own fear. If somebody has a fear of abandonment, they think that you're going to always leave them, they're going to act a little different than someone that doesn't have a fear of abandonment. programs is I think someone's constantly talking about me, or everybody's always talking about me, and that's their program. They're going to think that everybody's out to get them. They're going to think that everybody's out to get them. And they're going to be constantly, they're the same ones that when you're at a party, they walk in and literally, was everybody talking about me? I'm hoping everybody got a good earful. And you're like, well, nobody was talking about you. Somebody was talking about the cheese dip over there, and I was trying to get a glass of wine. I don't have any. Where did this come from? And they really believe, they walk out of that room angry and on fire because they know you were talking about them. Nobody was talking about them. But you see how in our head we create this reality. And in our head, that reality is our truth, even if the reality in our head is not what's really happening here on center stage, a.k.a. real life. Okay? I mean, I've had some things happen before where I'm literally like, you got to be kidding. I have whiplash trying to figure out what they're talking about. What was that? Okay, well, yeah, well, I was here in the real world, at least on this plane right now on planet Earth, and that didn't happen. But in your head it did, but we'll let that go. Okay, we'll let it go. And I've been on the other side of that, where I've been in my own head thinking something happened and it didn't happen. I'm not perfect. My God. The only reason I know all this stuff is because I had to overcome all this stuff. It's not like I knew this and there's like a big book in the world. It's like, here's the knowledge to everything. You know, and it's interesting when you do have leaders in the world, it's like, just lead. Don't just lead, but do by leadership. Be the leader. Don't just lead other people down the primrose path and then act crazy behind closed doors. You gotta have some sort of leading ability. But you also have to lead your own life. You know, it's interesting though, I want you to think about it. What are some of the things that you're identifying with right now that you can let go? What are some of those things right now? What are some of those relationships that are supposedly very important to you in your life that really are not part of your reality? That you're keeping it around because of your necessary need or your fear of abandonment or your wanting to be, wanting to feel important or want to have the right friends or want to feel, you know, loved by whatever it is. What is it that you're doing that's no longer serving your highest good? What are some organizations that you're involved in right now that at one time you really, really, really were connected to? Or maybe you never were. Maybe it was because of the status. Maybe it was because of ego. Maybe it was because of, I have to be involved with something. Or this helps with my identity. Or this helps me create my identity. There's a lot of different avenues to this, guys, and I'm just trying to, like, open up everybody's mind, and I know that you're already probably primed for this. You're probably already working on it, but I'm just giving you the extra scoot to try to get this done, because, you know, we don't really get to live our life until we let go of the things that aren't ours, and until we let go of those things, we can't be really, you know, true to ourselves. And I think many of you know, I was raised in a certain church. And I remember, when I, you know, got the Bible and did everything, and I was supposed to be a big part of the church at that point, you know, as much as a child could be. And I remember having questions, and I asked the minister at the time, and then he said, you know, those are really great questions. You should go and look around and see what you think you should do, because this is probably not for you. And I said, well, sir, that's great. I'm in middle school, though. I live with my parents, and it's going to be years and years till I can drive. So there's no going around looking at different faiths at this time. Great idea. In 15 years. But I remember when I did get the chance, I did. And I made big changes. Am I argumentative of that religion? Do I put down that religion? No. I just don't follow that doctrine. Do I accept it? Have I read a lot of books on the doctrine? Sure. Do I understand the doctrine? Sure. But is it what I consider my reality? No. 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 It's not mine. I mean, it was a great idea, and I'm glad my parents put me in that situation, but it's not me. It's not me. My mom even walked away from that church, too, which is not a big deal. But you know what? She found what she wanted. I found what I wanted. And so I'm asking you, what are some of the things that you're doing right now that are not necessarily you, but you're going through the motions? And that's what we want to figure out. Like, literally, examine all your relationships. Examine all your habits. You know, like, even, am I a smoker? You know, some of you might be smoking cigarettes, and you're like, I'm not really a smoker. I've kind of been, like, labeled as a smoker my whole life, but I'm not really a smoker. I don't really know if I want to keep doing this. And a lot of times we find ourselves literally doing the things over and over again because we feel like we have to. We feel like it's part of our identity. We feel like that's, you know, like if you're always the jokester and you feel as though you have to be the jokester all the time, you might not feel like making a joke, but all of a sudden it's like every time you get in public, you have to be the jokester because that's who you are. You make everybody laugh. But is that you? Are you the person that makes everybody laugh? Or can you just be you and let go of that identity and occasionally make people laugh, but that's not your end-all, be-all of life's existence? Just some thoughts to think about. You know, right now I want to ease into talking about history. You know, we have a resident historian here. We know Dan Nelson. Dan Nelson is our resident historian, and he uncovers some really interesting things. And in today's interesting topic, we're going to be talking about fame. We're going to be talking about a little bit of Hollywood, and we're also going to be talking about kidnapping. So here we go. Now it's time for Dan Nelson. Dan is our resident historian. Dan, I'm interested in the story that you have for us today. I'm sure it's something that could be maybe possibly juicy.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story. So one of my clients, she wanted me to find out more about her husband's ancestry. He was adopted, but they didn't know much at all that was factual on the mother's side, but they did know the name of his real father. And the real father had a different last name than him, and he was a Hollywood producer-type person. He performed on the Armed Forces radio show, produced episodes of that, and basically he was a pretty successful guy. He had a Hollywood secretary, got her pregnant, and that's sort of, you know, the story there. But then as I started to check into this Robert Lehman's ancestry, it turned out he was actually born with the name Robert Stagg or Bobby Stagg. And at age 22 months, he was kidnapped by his own father. And you're like, what? You know, I thought that kind of stuff only happened nowadays. So this is, you know, back in the early part of the 1900s. And what happened was him and his parents got divorced, Bobby Stagg's parents got divorced, and his mom had a pretty cool occupation back then. She was a newspaper reporter, which there weren't too many female newspaper reporters back in the 1920s. And she'd gotten divorced, which also was unusual back at that point in time. And she married again another newspaper reporter, and that's how the Lehman name came to his last name. But when they got divorced, apparently his father, George Thomas Stagg, wasn't too happy about the arrangement in terms of his ability to see the child. They were going to move from Washington State, basically the Walla Walla area, down to San Diego, where they both had employment with the newspaper. And so he decided to kidnap his 22-month-old baby, which is quite an endeavor if you think about it for, you know, most men nowadays would have a hard time taking care of a 22-month-old child without their wife being involved. But back then, I mean, you're talking diapers, you're talking not much solid food. So this is not, you know, an easy undertaking that this guy felt that he needed to do. So his clever plan to basically kidnap his child was he had an ex-wife named Betty Brainerd, who was a socialite up in the Seattle area. Go in and take a box of chocolates, sounds like Forrest Gump right here, to the grandmother and basically get her involved in a conversation. And then she went back into the nursery area of the grandmother's home and kidnapped little Bobby Stagg and took him out of there. So they were able to, you know, figure out that she was the one that did it, but she wasn't. They weren't really sure what happened to her, what happened to the baby. It was quite a bit of drama. Then they found her, they arrested her. She said, yeah, you know, George Thomas Stagg got me to do this, and I'm not sure where he is or where he went. And the grandmother was so upset about this that she actually got herself deputized. And again, this isn't something that grandmas did back in the days in the 1920s, got deputized so that in the, you know, her Model A or whatever, she could go across the country to try and figure out what happened to her grandson. And Stagg's roots were originally from the Louisville, Kentucky area, and we'll talk more about why there, but then they got money and they moved to New York. So the theory was he would head back to New York where his family was, where his comfort zone was, and he wasn't a native Washingtonian, Washington State person. So somehow she knew, got word that he was heading cross country, and then the rumor actually became that they were in Canada or heading to Canada. And back then, if somebody left the United States to go to Canada, it was more complicated than today. You didn't have Interpol. You probably had an extradition treaty, but it wasn't like you just called your buddy in the Toronto police and they went over and, you know, arrested him, which might work today when you watch these TV shows about, you know, the big drug cartel cases and people cross the border and all that kind of stuff. So they ended up, because he'd gone to New York, and he was a New York newspaper man. We'll talk more about him being a New York newspaper man, what that meant. But they ended up cutting a deal where they said, look, we'll let Betty Brainerd go free and not get charged for kidnapping the child if George Stagg and the baby are brought in, and you know, obviously the baby's returned to its mom, and we'll deal with Mr. Stagg. But not worry about Betty because she was basically just used by George Stagg to get his daughter. So that agreement was made, and, you know, I don't know if it was done through Canadian police, lawyers, whatever, but a condition was set that they would do that and she wouldn't go to prison because really what they wanted was the child back, and they wanted the mastermind of the plot, the father, to be sort of the one that paid the price. So that deal was arranged, and I actually watched my notes here. This was all done through telegraph, so you have to think, you know, nowadays you do things through texting and email and some of the stuff we've talked about. And this was all done by telegraphing this information back and forth across the country. And so they finally determined where the baby was in Toronto with the father. He went out back to New York, turned himself in, and the baby was returned. And this was after the mother had a nervous breakdown, and, you know, there was quite an ordeal here. So maybe next week we can talk about what happened. What was the outcome for George Thomas Stagg after he returned the child?
I look forward to hearing what happens to George. This is going to be good stuff. It's a good cliffhanger, Dan.
It is, and this is an amazing family. You know, considering this guy knew nothing of his ancestry, this is quite the tale to uncover. They certainly weren't boring farmers.
Definitely not boring farmers. Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of this next week, so I look forward to seeing you back in studio.
I look forward to it, too.
What an interesting story. I mean, you know, it's got everything, right? It's got the whole Hollywood concept. It's got the entrenched and crazy concept. We got the kidnapping. We're going to obviously talk about the rest of that story next week. So hang out with us and allow us to go through that story next week when we get a chance. But, you know, in the meantime, I want us to look at programming, and I want us to really think about how can we overcome some of the old ways of defining ourselves. How can we deal with some of those old ways of defining ourselves by understanding what we need to let go of? How do we eventually get to see what we need to let go of? Really think about it. And I think one of the first things that we need to realize and ask ourselves, are there folks in our life that keep us identifying with this old programming? Are there folks in our life that keep us identifying with our old programming? Are there people holding us back? And it's not just that they're holding us back. We're also holding ourselves back by trying to rationalize or trying to prove to them our new reality or trying to hide our new reality. Or, you know, it's not really a new reality. We're just trying to get back to how we were when we were born. It's not like we're recreating. It's not like we're changing our name or doing that. We're trying to get back to how we were in the beginning before we were given all these, you know, deceiving, you know, misleading identity pieces, okay? So when we return, I'm going to be giving you some tips and tricks on how to start doing this, what to be aware of, and how to really work on this to eliminate self-sabotaging behavior, okay? Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burtis, will be back. I'll be back this time in two shades.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been talking about programming. We've been talking about how to understand our programming, how to understand where we've been programmed, how we've been programmed, who's been programming us, and what is the program saying. You know, I know that many of us have been holding on to these programs and identities and definitions for a very long time. And some of it has just made us downright miserable. And some of us have gotten in the way of us contributing in our life. Some of it has gotten in the way of us doing things that we really wanted to do because we didn't believe in ourselves, because we were told we weren't good, or we weren't going to be good, or we weren't successful enough, we weren't smart enough, we weren't fast enough, we weren't strong enough. You know, I've interviewed folks all over the country, all over the world. I've interviewed celebrities that literally talk about, you know, my parents or my grandparents or whatever would tell me I wasn't talented, or I didn't know what I was doing, or I was never going to make it. It's horrible. And to live with that. And it's just, I'm just talking about, let's get rid of the stuff that no longer serves us. Let's get rid of the stuff that we think about all the time. Let's get rid of the stuff that gets in the way of us doing what we need to do. You know, I have folks that haven't applied for jobs that they were completely the perfect candidate for it. But they didn't apply because they were scared. They didn't have the ability. And they didn't apply because in the back of their head they didn't think they were qualified enough based on their own personal identity issues. All these things. Or they didn't go after something that they really wanted to go after, or they didn't believe that they could actually do it. And those are the things that that cause us regret. Those are the things that get to us. Those are the things that make us regret. Those are the things that we look back in life and we go, God, I wish I would have done that. You know, it's like there's not many people that are like laying on their deathbed saying, well, I did everything I wanted to do. I was totally true to myself. I made the best of my life and I'm ready to go. Most people are like, oh, my God, I'm not ready to go. I didn't finish what I wanted to do. I'm not ready. So why don't we start getting there and trying to figure out what is it that we can do? What is it that we can do to our life? What is it that we can do? And there's a couple of things I want you to think about. You know, first off, are you working on eliminating this old programming? Are you working to identify it, first off? Do you know what it is? What gets in the way of you doing what you want to do? What is getting in the way of you? What is making you stay up at night? What is making you question yourself? What is making you feel weird about yourself? What is making you feel just unqualified? Not good enough. Start analyzing that. You know, get out a journal. I know some of you don't like writing anything down, but I'm saying if you write it down, it makes it a lot easier to see what's in your head. And I'm not talking about just putting stuff in your phone that you never look back at. I'm talking about actually writing stuff down and focusing on that. Another thing that I want you to think about is asking yourself, are there folks in your life that are continuing the false programming for you? Are there folks in your life that are continuing to identify you based on that false programming that no longer serves you? Think about it. Ask that. Think about it. Are there people that you're spending time with that you're having to prove your value? Are there people that you're hanging out with that don't see your value? Are there people that you're hanging out with that question your ability to understand who you are? Because when you're trying to, like, explain to somebody who you are, it makes it even harder to be who you are. Because you're wondering, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I want to ask you another question. Are there habits that you're still interacting with or doing that you need to stop or be aware of that are no longer connected to your highest self? Think about it. Are there things that you're still interacting in day-to-day life that are not at your highest good, but maybe were a part of this old programming, this old definition of self that's no longer your current definition? Think about that. These are big. It could be anything. It could be absolutely anything. In small things, it could be the fact that, you know, you don't eat, you don't take care of yourself based on, you know, a low self-worth. It could be, you know, that you've always been kind of the outliner. And so you're, you know, and you feel like, you know, I'm dabbling in this and that, but it's not really my true self. But I was always considered the rebel or the outliner. Are you really the rebel? Are you really the rule breaker? You know, I mean, like, you know, also it could be the other way around. You know, are you really like always goody two shoes or is that just a freaking representative of you? I mean, how much are you the representative of you and how much are you you? Things to think about. And last but not least, being aware of self-sabotaging behavior based on a limited thought identity of yourself. We're also part of this. We're also part of this. We're self-sabotaging the fact that sometimes we need to let these things go or we need to realize where they came from. You know, if you haven't already, please check out YouTube. Go to YouTube. Just go to YouTube on Google or whatever you look it up on and go to YouTube and put in Ashley Burgess. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. New video content every single week on YouTube. The latest video content that came out yesterday was on toxic relationships and understanding how to stop being bullied in those toxic relationships. If you haven't already, go to my website, AshleyBurgess.com, as well as the10daychallenge.com. The number 10 is the number 10. So stay tuned. I'll see you next week. We got a great show for you next in the week. And live your true life perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes. Woohoo! Great show.
We're all striving to live our true life, and part of living our true life is learning about
our past.
Thank
you guys for tuning in.
Passing knowledge and family history down to the next generations help those generations to learn where they came from, who they're related to, and to learn about the accomplishments of their ancestors. We've all seen the commercials on TV where you buy a kit, spin into a plastic tube, and receive a few morsels of information that need a lot more connecting of the family dots. Instead, how about hiring a true professional to help you find out your true family history? Dan Nelson is the resident historian of Live Your True Life Perspectives, a professional who does more than looking you up on the internet and compiling bits of history. He travels the country doing research around things that your family deserve to know. Take a moment now and contact Dan at 214-914-3598. That's 214-914-3598 and begin to learn your history.